Praise God. Let's open our Bibles today to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I'll assure you I'm going to get out of Romans 8 one of these days, but not. I've been there the last two or three weeks. So. But anyway, there's more there. I feel like God is speaking to me, so that's where I'm going to stay. I'm going to talk about God's everlasting love. Actually, the theme of the Bible is love, for God so loved the world. If he didn't love the world, he would never came. There would be no redemption plan. There would be no eternal life. There would be nothing. But God did come. And so God loves. God shows throughout the Bible that he loves humanity. He loves you today. I don't care how unlovable you may feel. Hope you don't feel that way. But if you do, know that God loves you. Amen. Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay a charge, or bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Father, we just pray for your blessings upon this place today. Your blessing is already here. To anoint your servant, God, to bring forth your word, I pray you'd talk to the heart of every person as only you can do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Lord. God's everlasting love. Without questions, there have been, in the music industry, there have been countless songs written about love, most of it romantic love, a natural love between a man and a woman. But some about love in certain places, some love about certain things, some love about entertainment and stars. You know, just let me inform you that astronomers tell us that many stars are just burning gases. So remember that next time somebody calls you a star. No. However, real true love has its origin in God. The greatest expression of love is God providing redemption for humanity. For undeserving fallen mankind, God owed us nothing, but God gave everything. Every conversion from a sinful life to God is an extension of God's love. I remember as David Wilkerson wrote in his book, Cross the Switchblade, he kept telling street gangs, the people in street gangs in New York City said, God loves you. And one of the people was told him, said, my mother never told me she loved me. I've never heard that anybody loved me. But surely the love of God entered that person. He's born again, preaching the gospel again today. That's praise God. That's powerful. That's what God's love can do. It does. Amen. God loves you today. Regardless of background you came from, how you've been treated or mistreated, God loves you. Amen. And so let's notice our scriptures here today that, first of all, it says that God is for us. Verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That is a verse of victory, my friend. Amen. In the first three chapters of Romans, Paul makes it seem like God isn't for us. He tells how awful mankind is without God. As a matter of fact, he comes to the one place and he says that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world becomes guilty before God. Well, I'm glad he straightened up a little by the time he got to the 8th chapter. Man. But however, he just makes the whole world know that they're guilty of sin and need Christ as a Savior. And we need to be saved from our sins. Amen. Only God's love can make us where we're justified, declared not guilty. Otherwise, we're just guilty. Man, I've seen people that were just guilty, tried everything, explanation they could have to say that, you know, somebody else, it wasn't me. That's been tried since the Garden of Eden, you know. Adam says it's the woman. She deceived me and caused me to eat that fruit. The woman said, it wasn't me, it was a serpent. So the blame game has been played ever since time. But God accepted none of their excuses. But however, God come to make us, to deliver us from the guilt and the shame of sin that it brings. Amen. If God is for us, who can be against us? I want to tell you something. God is for you today. He may not be for everything you think and do, but He's for you. He's for our present, and He's for our future. God is not an absent God when you get up in the morning. He doesn't feel the way you do when you get up in the morning. Amen. You say, well, He doesn't understand that my hair is not fixed. He understands. He made hair. Amen. So He knows it all. The Bible says every hair of your head is numbered. He knows about your hair. But He is our present. He is our future. And I want to tell you something. He is for you. He is for your encouragement. He's not here to put you down. He's for your continued faith. He's for your endurance through difficulties. I'm glad that God gives us enduring faith. Praise the Lord. And some things you're going to endure in life. Amen. There's not a God. There is a gospel out there. It's a false gospel that says you shouldn't have to go through anything or endure anything. But as a believer, as a child of God, amen, you know you're going to have to endure some things. But I want to tell you, God is never absent. God is for you. God is for you being an overcomer. God is for you being victorious. God is for you to lift up your head and look, for your redemption draws nigh. God is for you to make it through, to walk through this life. You're a child of God. Praise the Lord. God is for your victory. God is for your eternal life with Him. He has eternal plans for you. God is for you to be an overcomer. Not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. These are the words of Jesus. That you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Not the great tribulation, but tribulation, testing. But be of good cheer, Jesus said, for I have overcome the world. Jesus overcame things that you and I could never overcome. He overcame the guilt and the shame of dying on a cross for sins He never committed. He never committed one. He died between two thieves, and they, deserving of their death, because of the crimes they had committed, but Jesus did no crime. But He overcame the words, the insults of people, the foolishness of people. He prayed for the Romans that crucified Him. He prayed for the Jews that were guilty for His crucifixion. He prayed for the Gentile, you and I. Because you see, when it comes to God and sin, we're all guilty before God. Not just the Jews, not just the Romans, but the Gentiles. All peoples are guilty until they come to Christ. But God can declare you not guilty, justify you. Praise the Lord. So if God is for us, who can be against us? Yes, there are things against us. The devil is against you. The sinful nature that you wrestle with, the flesh, called in Scripture, is something that's against you. Yeah. You have feelings, you want to say things and do things you know you shouldn't do, and the Holy Spirit of God reminds you you're not supposed to say that or do that, and when you fail, you can repent. Thank God for it. So the pull of the sinful world is against us. But God isn't against you. Praise the Lord. Yes, the pull of sin is very strong, but not too strong for the Lord that we serve. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The wild word didn't say, be strong and see how good you can work out on your own. No, if you look at what you worked out on your own, it didn't come across too good, did it? But when God got involved and Christ was there and Jesus was there, He walked you through everything. He walked people out of prison doors. He walked people out of prison. There were prisoners to addictions of all kinds. God is able to walk people out. Hallelujah. God be for us, who can be against us? And so finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And one of those of the Christian armor is the shield of faith. We have to hold up the shield of faith because the Bible says it's to quench the fiery dart to the wicked one. When something pulls, it challenges your faith, and it pulls away at your prayer life and your Bible reading, and those are fiery darts from the wicked one, because the enemy of your soul doesn't want you to have contact with the truth of Scripture. He doesn't want you to know that God is for you. The enemy of your soul doesn't want you to know, doesn't want you to think that you can be victorious. The enemy of your soul doesn't think you want you to think you can be an overcomer. The enemy of your soul wants you to think that you've just done for and God forgotten about you and everybody else is going to make it to heaven but you. That's what the enemy of your soul wants you to think, that kind of stuff. But my friend, when those kind of thoughts come along, we hold up the shield of faith. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that He rose again from the dead. I believe He saved me. I'm washed. I'm cleansed by His precious blood. I'm a child of God. I have Him as my Savior, and I'm on my way to heaven. Nothing's going to stop me. Hallelujah. And hold up the shield of faith means that we're not going to sell out to anything this old world has to offer, any suggestion of the enemy. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, He was able to do the things that Satan tempted Him with. He had been fasting 40 days. The Bible says He was hungry. And the tempter comes to Him and says, "If you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Jesus was well capable of doing that. But Jesus responded, said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And so Satan comes to Him and says, "Well, if you're the Son of God, then throw yourself down from this pinnacle of the temple here, and then the people will believe that you're the Son of God." Jesus said, "It is written, you shall not test the Lord your God." And even the devil's quoted a scripture. The devil knows the Bible better than you do, and I do. Because he quoted in the scripture out of Psalms 91 and says, "The Lord shall give charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And He'll be with you, lest you dash your foot against the stone." So go ahead, Jesus, jump off of this thing. But you see, the sin would have been yielding to anything that Satan offered. I don't care how good it may seem today. If Satan offers it, it's not of God. If it's sinful things, it's not going to help you do better and feel better. It's to destroy you. But God is all-powerful, all-knowing. He knows what you face. He is present always. You're not alone. In your pain, you're not alone in sorrow, you're not alone in sickness, you're not alone in difficult. He is a present Jesus, a present God. Amen. And so we know that Jesus bore all these things on the cross. You say, "Well, if you're really a good Christian, you're really victorious, you're living close enough to God, you're not going to have sorrow, pain, and sickness." Let me tell you something, friend. Everybody goes through certain things. And I wish I could tell you you'll never have a problem if you're a Christian. But I want to tell you, the problem you have is the enemy's against you, and the enemy tries to bring things in your way that will stray you away from the faith, but he can't do it. Amen. You got to look to God. And the Bible says in Isaiah 53, "Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." That's part of life. But I want to tell you, you don't bear sorrow and grief and you don't carry them along. I can tell you, God is there to help you carry them. God is there to walk with you, talk with you. And whatever you face in life, you look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of your faith. You'll be an overcomer. You'll be victorious. If God is for us, who can be against us? Man, not alone. Always present. Also, we see here that God spared nothing for us. Verse 32, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Okay? God spared nothing from us. The Creator, the end of the earth, that spoke the world into existence, came down to us. Man, you didn't evolve from something, you know? Darwin's theory of evolution is just mucky nonsense. But the Creator stepped down because He valued our soul. He spared nothing for your salvation. Amen. God had plenty of things He could do from the universe and the worlds and the systems, solar systems that He created. He spared nothing for you. He's got all these things. Even when we were without any reason for God to come down to us, He came down anyway. He spared nothing for us. Romans 5 and 6 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." You say, "Well, I may have sinned and I may have done some bad things, but I'm not ungodly." Oh, yes, you are. Without God, you are. If you don't have God, that makes you ungodly. Man, I thought that would encourage you this morning. No. But God, Christ died for the ungodly because there is no limit to what sin could have done to us if God hadn't intervened in our life. You don't need to view yourself as ungodly today if you have Christ in your heart. You're not. But it says in Romans 5 and 10, for when we were enemies, and when you're living a life of sin apart from God, that makes you an enemy of God. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. That means that reconciliation means that you have a settled account with God. You're reconciled to God. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Romans 5:10. So God spared nothing for us. He put value upon us. And people spend a lot of money on things that they value. People will spend hundreds, even thousands of dollars to make an old car look like it used to when it was first created or made. And when you get done, all you got is a dead car. Anyway, not going to go there very long. But people spend much money to try on things that they value. But God invested His Son. God spared nothing, not even His Son, for you. Heaven's greatest treasure in us, that's beyond description, my friend. This God that we serve and the Christ that died for us, I want to tell you, He has no rivals. He has no challenges. No one to challenge His love for us. No other relationship challenges God's relationship. Amen. And there's many things that people compete for in the natural world, sports world. People compete to try to break the latest record. There's always someone greater. There's always a greater challenge. There's always someone who can, with a greater challenge, somebody with a better record than you when it comes to the sports world. But I want to tell you something. Nothing equals or compare or competes with our Christ. When God sent His Son, God spared nothing for you. He sent heaven's best, heaven's greatest treasure. God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. And whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He's a faithful Savior. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. Amen. So, God spared nothing for us. His redemption is beyond all mankind could imagine or much less create. Yes, there are religions in the world that say if you'll do this, you'll do that. If you'll live with our set of rules, then somehow or another you might go to a better place when you die. But only God can give you the guarantee that if you'll come to Me, I'll give you eternal life. I'll make your life worth living while you're here, and I will give you eternal life. That's nothing the world can offer. There is no earthly thing, no person, place, and no dream vacation that can be compared to God's love. God spared nothing for us. In the Bible it says in Psalms 100, make a joyful shout unto the Lord, all ye lands. Come to the Lord. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endures to all generations. I'll tell you something. God looks out for His sheep. And I'm glad that God loves us as sheep. This may not make you feel very good, but sheep are basically the dumbest animal there is. They have no sense of direction. They have to be led. If you put food in front of them, they will eat. But they have to be led. They've got no system of defense of themselves. They may make a little noise, but that's not going to help them if a wolf comes. You see, you and I have no sense of system of defense unless God is with us. I don't want to tell you, God is a shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd that lays down His life for the sheep. He thought enough of you, He's willing to die for you. When the wolf came, when the enemy of your soul came, Jesus laid down His life so that you and I would not be destroyed. He's a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. He's known in Hebrews 13 and 20. And He's also the chief shepherd. The Bible says when the chief shepherd shall appear, that's the rapture of the church, You shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I want to tell you something. God is taking care of his people. He spared nothing for us. He's the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. My friend, he'll lead you to fountains of living water. He loves you. He cares for you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the good shepherd is there with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God spared nothing for us. We hold on to things we consider valuable. People hold on to things their parents had as if it would help. And since my sister's not here, I'm going to say this. I know you're wondering. But my dad sat in the same recliner every morning and read his Bible and prayed before he started his day's work. And usually it was around 6 in the morning. And so I didn't have to set an alarm. I heard Daddy praying. He didn't pray quiet. You know, he prayed like the house is on fire. I mean, but anyway, when my dad passed away, my sister took his recliner and put it in the attic and prayed. And my daddy had prayed there. But that recliner is of no spiritual value at all. It's sentimental value. But the prayer that was made there was what is worth something. Thank God for it. It's okay. It wasn't wrong for my sister to say that. But the Bible says that God will supply all things needed to keep us on the road to heaven. In 1 Peter or 2 Peter 1 and 3, it says, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You see, it was given. It's all an act of God's grace. You know, somehow or another, we want to take credit for a few things. You know, God, didn't we do something to help all this out? No. All you can do is say, God, I accept what you've already done. And I ask you to help me from here on out, and he will help you from here on out. He's made it where his Holy Spirit can indwell you, where his Holy Spirit can instruct you, where his Holy Spirit can convict you when you're wrong. God did everything possible for you and I to live the overcoming, victorious Christian life. It's God's will for you to succeed and not fail. Amen. Joshua of old said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We can't make it without God, but we don't have to make it without God. He's for us, and he's with us. Last of all, God keeps us from being separated from him. Back to our text, Romans 8:33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. In other words, God is saying, if you're going to speak something against one of my children, you've got to come against me, God. But it is God who justifies. This doesn't give us a license to prove to go out on sin and do things the old carnal nature wants to do, but it is God who has made us not guilty. And if God has declared you not guilty, then you're not guilty. I don't care what the enemy brings. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who is he who condemns? Verse 34. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. My friend, God is for you in this thing. And he keeps us from being separated from him. And continually condemning us isn't what God does. Matter of fact, Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world because it was already condemned. The devil and sin condemns. Jesus came into a world already condemned by sin, a world that had no hope and no righteousness and no good word to earn God's favor. You haven't done a little bit, I haven't done a little bit to make us more acceptable to God. It took a work of God in you and in me. You say, well, Pastor, you're making me feel pretty awful. If you don't have Christ in your heart, you are pretty awful. And so am I. It's only Christ that makes us worth anything. Praise the Lord. And so the world is universally guilty and must have God. That's the reason we send missionaries all over the world proclaiming this good news, that Jesus can make you clean, God can make you heaven acceptable, God can put you on the road, the right road that leads to eternal life, instead of following the broad path that leads to destruction. Amen. In Isaiah 64:6, this verse may not encourage you either. And this is before you're saved. He says, but we are all like an unclean thing. All our righteousness are like filthy rags. We fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. You see, that's a place a person must come to before they can be saved and say, you know, I haven't been to church enough. I hadn't read a Bible enough. I hadn't thought enough about good things. And I've let my mind wander here and there, and I'm just no good. But God came to take things that were no good to make them good. Because you see, God is good. When God enters you, He makes you good. Hallelujah. He makes you righteous. He makes you acceptable in heaven. He makes you where if the enemy comes against you, you can be victorious. Praise the Lord. In Psalms 14, verse 1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Amen. They are corrupt. I'm reading from Psalm 14. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. You know, saying, you know, Lord, if there's none that does good, would you fix this? The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there is any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have become altogether corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. That makes everyone need a Savior. My friend, we have stories coming in from missionaries all the time how God saved people that you wouldn't think about, one you wouldn't invite over for supper. Amen. That God touched them, God saved them. That's what He did for you and I. Amen. Amen. You say, well, you haven't been involved in deep sin. I mean, sin is sin to God. It separates you from God. But I'm telling you something, the blood of Jesus can bring you back and make you close to God. I want to be close to Him. Hallelujah. And so you can be. Praise the Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. And so we know God had no obligation to offer humanity a way out of His sinful choices. All are guilty. All deserve separation from God, but God of all grace and love provides reconciliation. God so loved. Amen. In John 1:14 it says, the Word, Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. I thank God for grace. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so the Bible tells us that we need grace. Amen. Have you ever been pulled over for going too fast? You need grace. Don't always get it, but you need it. In 1:16 of John, it says, of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law, that's the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, was given through Moses. And when you try to live by the law, nobody can completely live by the Ten Commandments. Everybody's broken one of them somewhere along the line. You may not have murdered. You may have not have committed adultery. But you probably have bore false witness against your brother sometime. You probably lied about something once or twice. A dozen times. Maybe once. Don't know how big it is. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. In my growing up years, grace wasn't preached much. Not much grace. They had you guilty. I mean, you go to church and you had 2-week revivals. You didn't have weekend revivals. It started out weak and ended the same way. They had revivals, and you were probably supposed to get saved. I got saved in every revival when I was growing up as a kid. You say, well, I thought once was good, and once wasn't good enough. The next preacher that came along made me feel guilty of something else, so I had to get saved again. That's, you know, to be re-saved is really not scriptural. Repentance is. And so many legalistic things went on there. You know, if you got saved on Sunday morning, You know, you better be back to church on Sunday night. You probably need to be resaved by Wednesday night. That's not grace. But God gives grace. And God's grace is that He loves us, that He cares for us. Grace is God gives His Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. If you've fallen out of the way and done something wrong, it is the grace of God that says you need to repent of this, you need to get right. God is for you. God is not against you. God loves you. God cares. God keeps you. And He's able to keep us. Amen. And God delivers from condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the first verse of this chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to those now. There is therefore now, if you're born again, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's an act of God's grace. So God delivers from condemnation. And can God's children, God's born-again people who have made the decision to commit their lives to Christ, can they be continually condemned? No. See, when you've made a decision to follow Christ, that means it wasn't an emotional decision. The decision to follow Christ is, I'll serve God if God does this for me or that for me, if God makes everything better, then I'll serve Him. No. When you make a decision for Christ, you give your heart to Jesus. Many people don't understand that. There's churches that are full of people today that that say they're Christians, but they've never committed their lives to Christ and say, God, I've made the decision to follow You no matter what. It's not an emotional decision. I'll serve God if. Not a momentary decision. I'll serve God right now since things are going bad and I need help. It's not a decision for help needed at the moment, but a decision to give God final and complete authority over our lives. Lord Jesus, I need You now. I need You tomorrow. I will always need You. And God says, I'll walk with You. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you always, even to the end of the age. He will never. Amen. I'm glad that God never abandons us. Amen. Never says, you're not worth it. God committed all. God spared nothing for you because He loves you. Whatever you may be going through today, we can blame this, that, or the other, but I want to tell you, God loves you. God still cares. And God does not want you to give up or quit or turn or throw in the towel, so to speak, for anything. God wants you to keep on going forward for Him. Amen. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. My friend, we didn't start this race to give up somewhere along the way. We've got heaven in our sights. We're on the way. I believe we're closer than we ever been. My friend, we don't want to miss anything. We don't miss heaven's best for anything the world has to offer. Hallelujah. Because it won't be any comparison to the glorious presence of God forever. Amen. It's the Lord. God's everlasting love. God did love us. Amen.